Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, in Jesus' precious and holy name, we come before your throne of grace. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, our souls, and our minds, that we may grow in your grace, in your knowledge, in your wisdom and understanding. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would fill us with your presence, all who are here and all who are hearing this word. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you put a hedge of protection around us while we worship you, and that you would teach us this morning. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our message this morning is titled, Living a Blessed Life. And our text is from 1 Peter chapter 3, 18, 8 through 12, 8 through 12. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, loving as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Amen. Living a blessed life. Today we review how to be a source of blessing in giving blessings to others and receiving blessings. Verse 8 starts with the word finally. And I think it sums up Christ's example for us going all the way back to 1 Peter chapter 2, 23, which says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We are born again through faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Verse 8 starts with saying, be of one mind, having unity, having compassion, brotherly love, tender-hearted, or kind-hearted, and finally, I add, having a humble spirit. What powerful instructions for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It takes a humble spirit to come to Christ, and it takes a humble spirit for the Holy Spirit to work in us. We are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt us in due time. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You know, as we walk about and all that we do, we should be realizing there's God's presence all around us and within us. As it says, do you not know that you are a temple of the Lord and that the Holy Spirit dwells within you? God has forgiven us and made peace with us through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We are to forgive and have peace with our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. In Psalm 131, verse 1, it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to live together in unity. I love that, where it starts out, behold! Listen to this word. Doesn't it say that? How good and how pleasant it is to live together in unity. And yes, it is. We should not carry on any strife or bitterness or anything with anyone. Then it goes on in Hebrews 13:1 and says, let brotherly love continue. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love. Pursue it. Ephesians 4:32, one of my favorite verses. It sums up our text today. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Those are our instructions again, as we have been forgiven by God through Jesus Christ. Verse 8 of our text gives us directions on how to live. The remaining verses in our text give us specific instructions on how to live. Begins with verse 9, our first instruction. Not returning evil for evil. It's telling us that if another believer says something evil about us, something that's not true, we are not to retaliate, but commit it to God and let God fight our battles. This is against our nature. It's against our nature not to retaliate. We just need to trust in God. We need to trust in Him. There are three ways a person can respond. A person can respond to others, first of all, by returning evil for good. Did you look at that? I got a few faces look up. When someone's good to us, we can be evil. Who responds that way? That is the way of Satan. Satan responds that way. Satan returns evil for good. Next, a person can respond by returning good for good and evil for evil. Pretty common, isn't it? This is the way of man. This is man's nature. When somebody does something good to you, you do something good. Somebody does something evil, you do something evil. That's man's way. That's the way of the flesh. We do good to those who do good to us, and evil to those who do evil to us. The third way to respond is a Christian can return good for evil. Amen is right. This is God's way. This is the way to receive a blessing. Return good for evil. Entirely against what man wants to do. Entirely against our nature. But this is the instruction we're given. Return good for evil. This is what God did for us in giving us Jesus. This is what Christ did in dying for our sins on the cross. As it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We do not retaliate by returning evil for evil. We are to ask God to fight our battles. As a child of God, we need to trust in Him. There's so much going on in the world today where it's so easy to set our mind in the wrong way. But we're to set our mind as God instructs us. Praying for others who are doing perhaps evil for us. Praying for them. Returning good for evil. Praying that the Holy Spirit and God would interact in their lives. We read in Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Bless them which persecute you. That's the command, by the way. These are commands. We are to say and do good to those who do evil to us. As children of God, we are to give blessings. Remember that. As children of God, we are to give blessings. Our second instruction from our text, verse 10. For let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Whoever loves life, both present and for eternity, who treasures a long life, will control his tongue and not speak evil or badly of others. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Our second instruction is that we are to control our tongues. In the book of James, in chapter 3, it talks about the tongue. Here's what it says. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue can defile the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. That is what the Word of God says about the tongue. It goes on and says, no one can tame the tongue. It is restless, evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the likeness of God. The tongue can be very wicked. We need to control our tongues. If we want to love life and live it to the fullest, we need to refrain from speaking evil or badly of others. Pretty simple, isn't it? But pretty hard to do. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, because that's against the flesh. But it's not against the Spirit of Christ who is in us, and the Holy Spirit. Psalm 141 is a prayer for sanctification and protection. Verse 3 says this. I love this verse. I'm going to repeat it. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. This is a powerful prayer, isn't it? Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Psalm 141, verse 3. We need to watch what we say. We do. Our third instruction from verse 11 says we're to turn away from evil and do good. How? A child of God should not be gossiping or speaking badly of others. You know, I love it where Peter in 1 Peter puts gossiping right along with murder, because they're both hurting people. So we should not gossip. We should not speak badly of others. We are to fervently love one another from the heart. Fervently love. We're to strive. Fervently means you're to strive to love one another from the heart. And then 1 Peter, that was from 1 Peter 4:8. But 1 Peter 4:8 goes on and says this. Love will cover a multitude of sins. When we show love to someone, other people, we could do wrong afterwards, but the love that we have shown will cover those sins. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Got a wonderful example of that. Years ago, many years ago, I was going to a prayer meeting, not here, and I went by this guy's house. He must have been upset. I went to park in a parking lot, which was only within 100 yards of his house. And he runs and drives right up to me, and he's so angry. And I saw him, and I got out, and I shook his hand, and I said, it's good to see you. All of a sudden, he wasn't angry anymore. He said, well, you drove too fast. Well, love covers a multitude of sins. When he came to me, I came to him with love. And that melted everything away. It's so very important that we have love for each other and love for others. Our last instruction from verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The Lord does not hear the prayers of a sinner who does not have faith in Jesus Christ. The prayer he will hear from them is, Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. God will hear and answer that prayer. The eyes of Almighty God are on the righteous. And who are the righteous? Those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, Master, Son of God, and as God. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are righteous before God because you have the righteousness of Christ and not your own righteousness. It says in the book of Isaiah, our righteousness is as filthy rags. But when we believe in Jesus Christ, we have His righteousness. And that's why the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. And His ears are open to their prayers. The eyes of Almighty God are on the righteous. His ears are open to our prayers. This is a guarantee. We need to pray and let God fight our battles. And we need to understand that His ears are open to our prayers. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." And verse 15, "And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." What goes along with this verse, I thought this morning, is Psalm 37, verse 3, which says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart." When we delight ourselves in Him, what happens is His desires become our desires. And that's when we can pray and ask for His will. Because we're praying in His will, because our desires are His desires. Or should I say, His desires are our desires. Said it right the first time. But we'll be thinking of Him. The Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. But the Lord's against those who do evil. Those who do evil are those who do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. So the first, we need to believe in Christ Jesus as our Savior and Lord. And second, we need to know He hears and answers our prayers. Oh, every one of you should be praying, asking for whatever is struggling you, whatever struggle you're going through. Pray for those who are hurting, everyone. Because the Lord hears and the Lord answers your prayers. This text reviews how we are to live a blessed life. First, we're to obey God's commands. He wants us to be obedient. Secondly, we're to pursue a pure heart. We should be asking the God and the Holy Spirit to help us to have a pure heart. How? By pursuing love. Pursuing love, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14:1. And three, we're to forgive. This is a powerful one. Forgive yourself. If there's anything you're holding within yourself that you have not forgiven, ask God to forgive it. Especially today as we move to have communion. Forgive others. We should not be holding any bitterness towards others. And forgive God. Perhaps God did something that you thought was bad and you are holding something against Him. That will sure break your relationship with you and God. But forgive Him. God knows what's right. It says in Scripture, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. It's all going to work out good. So forgive God. Josh McDowell said this, "Forgiveness is the oil of relationships." Forgiveness keeps relationships going. If we're holding something on forgiveness towards someone, that relationship is going to be hurting. So forgive yourself, forgive others, and forgive God. Next, we're to be a unity builder. Seek ways to promote unity, to promote love. And five, Use your tongue for blessing. The best gift that you can give to anyone is encouragement. And we all get too little of it, don't we? As we live a blessed life, following the directions God has given us in this word, we'll have more friends. We'll be a living witness of God's love. A living witness of His love. Have you ever thought of that? If you're out there showing love to other people, you're going to be witnessing of His love. Chuck Swindoll said, "I cannot even imagine where I would be today were it not for a handful of friends who have given me a heart of joy." Let's face it, friends make life a lot more fun. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 sums up this entire message. Probably it sums up a lot of the Word of God. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." We need to be God's witnesses, showing His love to as many as we can. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just praise You and thank You, Father. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your word and for the instructions You give us to live daily for our daily lives. Help us, Heavenly Father. Help the Holy Spirit to work in us so that we keep You first and we keep Jesus Christ first. Thinking of Your love and the love of Christ. Be with each one now, Heavenly Father. Guide and direct us all. In Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.